The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
On this episode of Revelator, I welcome our special music guest, Bone Digger Halford. I also cover the Stone Temple Pilots lawsuit, big packages, the Carnival of Madness tour, the top movies at the box office, all this and more here on Revelator.
Enjoy the show.
Hey everybody, how's it going? Welcome to Revelator. I'm your host Ryan, and I'm telling you what, we've got a great show for you this evening. The one, the only, Mr. Bone Digger Halford will be joining us here momentarily, so definitely stick around for that. It's going to be an awesome show, and we're gonna have great tunes to boot, so you can't pass it up. And you know what, it's been a while since I've done some funny stories. People are like, man, you haven't done any funny stories in a while. And I was, you know, I'm digging on the internet, and I find a couple pretty good ones, and they're a little on the racy side, but I thought they're too funny not to bring up. Now, this can only take place, I guess, in New Jersey, right? So this woman, they labeled her as the hot dog hooker. I'm not making this up. This is a true story, okay? The hot dog hooker. And she was boiling mad that she got arrested for alleged prostitution. Catherine Scally, 47 years old, earned the moniker when she was arrested in 2012 for allegedly selling more than just hot dogs out of her food truck in Long Island. Now, she was just arraigned again and went on a big tirade in the courtroom, and the judge saying, there's no money exchange. I did it for free. I'm broke. I'm jobless, she says. And, she's obviously going to plead. She actually ended up pleading guilty to prostitution charges for she said she didn't give a sexual favor. She just stripped down for the men and sold hot dogs. Now, this is where it gets weird. This is this weird quote that I found at the end of the story of something that she said, which is a little strange to me. She says, to mothers and children out there, I will be selling the hot dogs in my bikini. She said, to all the guys, I'm going to wiggle those wieners and we're going to have a good time. Now, it's good to know that, I guess, Ballpark is not the only one that has a slogan that says, they plump when you cook them. Now, keeping with the theme here of hot dogs and wieners and such, I found this story pretty hilarious. I titled it Big Package. Now, this gentleman here named Ralph Panicki said he received a threatening dildo in the mail. He's received an 8-inch dildo with the phrase, Ralford is a dick, on it. And he says that it came from a tractor supply company in Oklahoma. And he says it believes it was from the manager at that particular location for Tractor Supply Company in October. Said they botched up an order that Pelnicki had made, and he got in an altercation with the store manager there and was told to leave the store and not come back. He said he ordered 250-foot spool of bungee cord, and they messed up the order, and he had to wait 2 weeks to get it. And he received the package several months later, this past February, and it just had no return address, obviously, of course. And he labeled it the container as a threatening dildo. He says, my wife was shocked, he admitted. She wondered what was going on. She feared what would happen next. Now, Pelnicki said that although he's going to try to press charges, it's not illegal, I guess, to send an offending sex toy in the mail. I took note of that, by the way, in case I want to send sex toys to anybody. And he said he was unable to get fingerprints of the dildo because too many hands have actually touched it, he admitted. And he says, again, he kept saying in the article, my wife feared what would happen next. I don't know what she's fearing. I mean, maybe he's feeling a little he's feeling a little inadequate after he received the threatening dildo. I love that he keeps referring to it as a threatening dildo. But he's going to file a civil suit against the company. And I'm going to keep abreast of this story because it's too good not to talk about. So basically the moral of the story is, Mr. Ralph Panicki, don't be a dick. That's basically what it comes down to. Let's take a look at our movies at the box office this week, coming off of Memorial Day. And you know what? I always want to talk about Memorial Day. I mean, since we've been doing the show, all the holidays we kind of mention and bring it up. And hopefully everybody had a nice Memorial Day. And let's not, forget about the people who served, this country, the United States of America, who really afford us the luxury to do the things that we do on Memorial Day weekend. We're hanging out with family and friends. conference, which is great. That's always a good thing to do. But, you know, it turns into a whole 3 or 4 day weekend. You're off work. You know, you're hanging out with the family. You're drinking beer. You're cooking on the grill. You know, hopefully everybody took a moment, at least just for a second, to reflect and look around and see the flags and you know, remember our servicemen and women who have definitely gave all for us to enjoy, you know, that weekend and all the weekends and all the days in between. You know, hopefully everybody, you know, took a moment to reflect on that. And I thought it was important to bring up, then I hope everybody had a nice Memorial Day. Again, let's get to our movies. Number 10, working our way up, Oblivion at $840,000. The movie The Croods at $1.2 million. The movie 42 at $1.2 million. The movie Mud, which looks like a very interesting film, only made $1.9 million. The Great Gatsby at $13 million. Iron Man 3, $19 million. The movie Epic, which looks great, at $33 million. Really great animated film. Looks really good. Star Trek Into Darkness at $37 million. The Hangover Part 3 opening weekend at $41 million. And Fast and Furious 6 opening up at $96 million. Now, I talked about this a couple weeks ago. The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, has been in 4 movies in this calendar year. Snitch, G.I. Joe, Pain and Gain, and now officially Fast and Furious 6. And though, with those movies being out right now, he's totally grossed $310 million in the box office. Unbelievable numbers. But if you look at, you know, what Iron Man 3 has done in just 4 weeks at $367 million. Unbelievable money in the movie industry at this point. And you know what? I talked about this at the top show. Stone Temple Pilots taking legal action against former frontman Scott Weiland. This is put in the works on Friday, May 24th. Additional details of the suit have come to light. The group has claimed that Weiland attempted to sabotage their 20th anniversary tour and their plans to continue their livelihood. And at that point, they basically hired the services of Chester Bennington, Linkin Park's frontman, to be a part of the band. This is going to be a pissing match all the way with the guys from Stone Temple Pilots and Scott Weiland. These guys have, you know, the legal documents and the lawyers are out. The gloves are off. This is going to get ugly. And keep yourself posted on it. Scott Weiland looks like he's going to fight tooth and nail, and looks like the reverse of that for the guys from Stone Temple Pilots. Just a really big mess on who's going to get naming rights and who gets, you know, credit for the songs. And like last I checked, that there were 4 guys in a band. They all wrote the songs together in the last 20 years. So it looks like this is going to get ugly, unfortunately. But the new track with Chester Bennington from Stone Temple Pilots is basically Stone Temple Pilots with him singing. It's everything you would expect from Stone Temple Pilots musically and vocally. It's pretty solid. Now, dates for the 4th annual Carnival Madness Tour will be revealed June 3rd. Special guest Shinedown, and looks like they're going to do a presale on June 5th. You can visit the website, Carnival Madness, their official website. Looks like also on that tour is going to be Papa Roach, In This Moment, a few other bands to be named later. So if you're interested in any of those bands, definitely check out the Carnival Madness Tour June 3rd. The dates will be released for that. And this is something I want to talk about. This happened a couple weeks ago, and it looks like things are progressing pretty fast here. The singer for As They Lay Dying, Tim LaBesse, 32-year-old, is retained behind bars officially since May 7th because he hired a hitman to kill his estranged wife. However, the hitman in question was an undercover police officer. Now, the district attorney there said that he had an envelope containing $1,000 cash, his wife's address, and gated security codes for her home, had all the security codes, and also did not flinch one bit when he said it would cost an additional $20,000. Actually agreed that he was okay with paying an additional $20,000 to have his estranged ex-wife killed, and also had dates and times set up with this police officer, which he didn't know was a police officer at the time, of when she would not be around their 3 adopted children where he could actually complete the hit. Wow. You know, you can't condone this. That's just dirty. There's no other way about that. That's just downright dirty. I mean, whatever happened to people just doing things themselves? You know, whatever happened to faulty wiring and hiking accidents, right? Unbelievable, man. But ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, coming to Revelator at this time, the one, the only, Bone Digger Halford.
Hey, what's up? What are you doing, lads?
Man, I tell you what, Bone Digger, I appreciate you taking the time, man. And it's been a long time coming. We've been talking about this for a while, man. I didn't think that the 28th was ever going to roll around, and here we are. And I want your take on this, the singer from As They Lay Dying, man. What is your take on that, man? You've been in the industry a while, and these guys are just, you know, out of control, man. That's the only way I could put it, man. That's crazy stuff, man.
Okay. First of all, like the story, as you were saying earlier on, like what they call it, basically is like, it's like, first of all, like he's denying the charges, And he's after giving all the access codes, and he's no flinching. And everyone knows that the federal government and the police forces work together undercover as secret hitmen. He's obviously a psycho, end of story. I have no problem saying that from my own opinion. He deserves prison, and he deserves whatever he gets, basically, in a federal penitentiary, because that's a serious crime. That's a form of terrorism, because he was going to have someone assassinated. Like, jeepers, if you don't love someone, like, give them money, go away, push them away. You know what I mean? Don't bother getting tied down. Like, that fellow was touched. Like, where is he going? Like, there I was thinking, like, how bad can it be that you want someone whacked? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not the Sopranos we're living in. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, no, I agree, man. Well, in the United States, that does carry a life sentence if he is convicted, and you know they're going to pass it. You know, saying he's on steroids and he wasn't in his right frame of mind. I don't know. Again, he's going to be in court here very soon, so it's going to be interesting how that plays out. But yeah, man, I just wanted your take on it, man. It's crazy, crazy stuff, man. I mean, his life can't be that bad. He's in a pretty successful band, As I Lie Dying. They're a pretty solid band. You know, they got a pretty good following. You know, they've got a couple great albums out. I mean, you know, he's got I'm sure he's got some money. Hey, man, they're already split. I don't understand what the deal is. They're already not together, and he still wants to have her killed. It's very, very strange, man. This is some crazy stuff. But I'll tell you what, man, I appreciate you coming on tonight. I want to talk to you about how you came up with the name Bone Digger for Bone Digger Halford. How did you come up with that particular name, man?
All right. As you know already, my real name is Eddie Halford. I'm a real Halford, just in case anyone's wondering why I'm called Halford. My actual real name is Halford. Bone Digger came from, right? Basically, I'm old school. This is what Bob Nabaldian, who has released The Headbanger on iTunes and Amazon in the USA at the moment, and you can get The Headbanger issues. They're very, very good value price. And it's got articles on Slayer, God rest, and rest in peace, Jeff Henneman. I was really upset over that. I actually cried when I heard about it because I met Jeff before, and we actually gigged before. And the thing is, I was heartbroken to hear about it, to be truthful with you, because I was shocked when I heard it from one of my friends, and I wasn't too sure. I had heard it a few hours beforehand, but I wasn't sure whether to confirm it or not, because you know how the media leaks things out, and you have to make 100% sure that it's actually real, and that's true. I actually cried that night. I actually took a break in studio for 3 or 4 days. I was talking to my team, my management and stuff like that, and they said basically, just what they called, just take a break, because it was just, the thing about that with Jeff Henneman, like one of the albums that stuck out in my head big time was Seasons of the Abyss, and when I was a kid, when I was about 11 or 12, basically, I was the only one listen to basically metal and heavy metal and trash metal around my own age in my own school. I pretty much stuck to myself as a young kid, but I got more into groups when I got older. But basically all I wanted to do was music and listen to music. So basically I was listening to that, and I went through at the time a really bad bullying, and basically because it didn't fit in, I had longish hair, I wasn't a cool guy, things like that. So basically I listened to Seasons of the Abyss nonstop, and basically that got me through what I went through, which was traumatic. Because bullying and cyberbullying are so dangerous. Like, you see yourself now with the federal government and that. Cyberbullying is a serious crime at the end of the day. And like, you're messing with people's lives, and you just don't know how far a person is willing to go on either side. If a person's going to bully someone so bad that the person comes along and hurts themselves, and God forbid if they would kill themselves. So I think bullying is like it's just disgraceful. I think I realized it as I got older. People who bully are actually people who are bullied themselves, who are so insecure and are so pathetic. And that's really what it is. And that's no joking. But Bone Digger Halford, how I got the name, is because I said I was old school. I came along and I had no money, and I wanted to. I had a guitar. My mother bought me a guitar, acoustic guitar. But I then got her to get me an electric, because I said I couldn't play heavy metal with an acoustic, etc. And I taught myself, and basically, I couldn't play when I was teaching myself. Really, I was playing pretty much crap, to be truthful with you. And basically, she came along and said, "What do you need?" And I said, "Well, even a second hand is an electric guitar." I said, "So." At all. So we went up to this guy, and he basically came to the market of my town, and he used to come once a week, and he'd have a music fan, and he'd sell the equipment. He's no longer around anymore. I don't know where he is. That's so long ago. Like, and I was only about, I say, 13 at the time, and basically, we got it, and a little amp. I still have the actual amp and the guitar still to this day, and basically just started playing, and then I wanted to record, so I went around looking for jobs. So I couldn't get a job because you're not really allowed work under 16 in Ireland. But I got a job with a local hardware store. And basically, the hardware was owned by the same people that actually owned a funeral home. And basically, the woman who, the elderly lady, she passed away, rest her soul. But she really liked me. So she ended up having me going around in a hearse. dead bodies. And I was coming along, and basically I thought, this is the coolest job, man. I'm sitting in a hearse and I'm going around, man, but the guy driving it is so boring and so old. And I said, but I still don't care, I'm in a hearse. Who else can say that we're in a hearse alive? So basically I started doing that, but I'd done some freaky fucking jobs, like some stuff, man. I went to the mortuary, and like I had to dress people, like old dead people and stuff. It was freaky for a child. Like I was only a child. Like, you know what I mean? I wasn't even in puberty. Like, you know what I mean? It was nice. I came home and I said to my mother, "I can't sleep." She said, "Why?" She said, "What? Calm down." I said, "I can't close my eyes. Every time I close my eyes, I keep seeing dead people." that's where I got the name Bone Digger. I've had it since a kid, man. They just started calling me that because they said the opposite meaning of Bone Digger is actually, I think, is to do with people digging graves and taking bones out. We were doing the opposite. We were putting them in.
That is a great story, man. I appreciate you sharing that with us tonight. Now, maybe people probably do this, maybe some don't. Rob Halford of Judas Priest is your cousin. I'm curious, you know, what is your relationship with him, and what influences did he have on you? Not necessarily, you know, musically, but also professionally. When you decided to kind of get into the business, is there any like words of advice or anything he kind of gave you when you first started out?
Well, the weird thing about Rob, right, was like, I didn't actually know he was my cousin. I remember what he called, I was listening to this 80s music as a kid before I even got a guitar. And basically, I kept along and basically picked up a compilation. And I was listening to this compilation. I think I was listening to bands like Richard Marx and Sher and stuff like that, as well as some of even older stuff like Ray Orbison and Chuck Berry and bands like that, because my father had a vinyl record collection, even old records so hard with HMV wrote on them, the old hard ones. So I wasn't allowed near them anymore, because if you drop one on the ground, it breaks like a plate. So yeah. like what you call it, I'm still not allowed to touch them to this day. So like basically, Rob basically what you call it, I heard the song basically Living After Midnight. Now I know the band Device have done a cover of that. And I'm not impressed. I'll be straight with you with the cover they've done on it. It just sounds like they took the music from Judas Priest and decided to come along and blah 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 sing over it. I don't like it. That's my personal opinion. That's just who I am. I'm more a Megadeth, Metallica, Judas Priest, old style guy. Do you know what I mean? I like my old stuff and Slayer as well. But the thing is, like, Rob, like, I remember listening to Living After Midnight, and I was there singing it, like, along, like, Living After Midnight, yeah, rocking till the dawn. And it goes, till the dawn, rolling. And I remember, like, listening to it. I was loving it, like, and I got to call it, my father said, you know, that's your cousin Rob. And I said, yeah, whatever. Like when you're a kid, man, like you're like, yeah, whatever. Like you're like, you don't really like, you don't take it in, you don't really understand it. So like what you call it, like I just didn't realize it until I got older. Then basically I've talked to Rob a few times, and basically he's given me advice here and there on different things. And I have to say, like Rob actually has a message tonight for people as well. He told me to tell you this because I was actually talking to him there during the week. He wants to thank all his fans for being loyal to him, He wants to thank everyone for being loyal to him and Judas Priest. And he also wants me to let you know that basically that there's, at the moment on his shop at metalgodshop.com, or you can go to amazon.com and get it, there's actually an autographed limited edition poster now available. And also the new double live CD, 21 tracks. It's Halford Live in London, and it's December 6, 2000, it was done. And it's 21 tracks on it, and it kicks ass, end of story. Like, there's everything in it from, like, Resurrection, Med in Hell, Locked and Loaded, Into the Pit, Nailed to the Gun, like, I mean, Stained Glass, Jawbreaker, Running Wild, Savior, Silent Screams. I'm going to run through them all for you here. Cyberworld, Nightfall, The Hellion, Electric Eye, Riding on the Wind, Tyrant, the Miss One, Genocide, Beyond the Reveal of Death, The One You Love to Hate, Bonus Live Insurrection, and Metal Gods, and Breaking the Law, of course. He's been a good guy. He's a good guy, and he loves his fans. He doesn't think of his fans as fans. That's the thing about us Halfords, see. We don't look at our people that like our music or buy our music. We're old school. Like, we didn't. We're not like bands like this Five Finger Death Punch that have just arrived out in 2005. Basically, like, where you're out there just doing your own thing, and Five Finger Death Punch to me, good luck, lads. Don't really fucking like yous, don't really care about yous, do your own fucking thing. Actually, I think they're a pain in the ass, and just probably to let yous know, lads, where'd you get the name from? That's what I'm curious about, because, like Five Finger Death Punch, last time I checked, I thought we had 8 fingers and 2 thumbs. Like, you know what I mean? Like. So, like, I go back to grammar school if I were you, lads. But the thing is, like they've only been around since 2005. They don't know jack shit about the old days and how it really worked. I was working my ass off in the music, and I only got a break when I was about 17 when I started releasing the albums properly. And I was using a 4-track. I got a real old 4-track, old style with a cassette, and basically it was analog, and you had like 2 inputs, and you could record like 4 tracks. And the reason I got it is because I wanted to be able to sing and put guitar down. Then I was using a Commodore 64 with a drum game that had drum beats on it. So I started just putting the drum beats in from a headphone jack put, and I was just playing along to it. And I can't even find half those recordings because they're so old. But I sold them on cassettes. I have some of the covers of them still, and they're framed and things like that, because I sold loads of them. What I would do is basically, this is mad, like, I'd go around to gigs in my own country, and basically what you call it, I'd have paid for some of the gigs. Like, if you're allowed in, some gigs would be over 18, you wouldn't be allowed in. But I'd still buy my ticket, chance on my arm, to try and get into gigs. And basically, I'd stand outside and bring a load of cassettes with me and a cassette player, and basically, I'd go to people who were at metal gigs and ask them, did they want to buy my cassette? And I'd have the cover done pretty cool, the whole lot. Like, and I was getting pieces of pictures, putting them down on a sheet, cutting out the sheet the same size as a cassette cover, and basically sticking them down with glue, and then photocopying them in black and white, so it looked like the one thing. So it looked like a proper cover. So basically, I was tape trading, like the old fashioned ways.
Yeah, oh
and
yeah,
like in the main, like old school. And basically, I was up there, like, and I'd go to people and say, here, do you want to buy my cassette? And next minute, like, people were like, why would I want to buy your cassette? I said, why not? And they were like, some people say, like, basically, F off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's just life. But you just have to have a hard neck. It's like knocking on doors and keeping at things. And basically, I just came along and just came with people and said, here's my Walkman. I said, if you want to have a listen to it, see what you think. I said, if you like Megadeth, you like my stuff. If you like what they call some of the Irish bands, I said, like, there was loads of Irish bands those times. They're all split up now. Ex Constant was one. They were very, very good. I said, if you like their stuff, like, I said, you'll like mine. And basically, the bands didn't mind, but I was standing outside a Guns N' Roses gig one day, and I think the police in Ireland thought I was selling something illegal because people were gathered around and people were buying it. Because they said, here's this kid, like, just trying to sell cassettes. So the guards came over and they weren't sure it was either a fight or something because the people were gathered around. So then basically I was brought aside and asked questions, as in, was I selling Guns N' Roses illegal material, or was I, what was I doing? I said, I'm selling my own material, and I bought a ticket for the gig, I said. And they said, right, okay, that's no problem. Good luck, take care of yourself. So like there was no hassle. Like, I mean, they couldn't do anything because I didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't illegal to sell my own music, and I hadn't said I was Guns N' Roses or anything like that, which I'm not. I'm Ed Bone Digger Halford, aka Eddie Halford. That's who I am, Bone Digger Halford. That's my music name. And at the end of the day, like that's just the way the business is. But the thing is, like, you've just got to take it one day at a time and one step at a time, because the thing is, like, you can't really, in this business, see, this business is not about, I'll be straight to you, like, you were talking about your man as I lay dying, like, he's using excuse steroids, like, putting it straight down, like, that's a band ruined now, end of story. Now, I know there's going to be fans out there, and they're probably going to have campaigns to, free him and all this kind of stuff, like, and let's face it, these are a lot of young people that don't understand really what the consequences of what his actions were. And basically what he's done, he's come along and committed a serious, serious crime where it involved, if he had picked the right person at the right time, he would have had his wife dead. And at the end of the day, he deserves what he deserves in prison. And I really think in my heart and soul, like, really genuinely, that there is going to be kids out there that are going to be like, oh, we want him back, he didn't do it, and all this. And kids, you've got to get over it, really. Like this business, like, you shouldn't be in the music business, end of story. If you can't perform on stage without drinking, if you can't perform on stage, or you shouldn't be in the business if you do drugs, end of story, especially illegal drugs. I'm talking about legal drugs. I'm not talking about stuff your doctor gives you for a prescription or anything like that. Because everyone's entitled to get any sort of medical help they are once it's legal from a doctor and given to you that way. But the thing is, like, if you need illegal drugs and drink to get up on stage or record, this is the wrong business for you, because look how many people's lives are dead. Look how many people's like lives have been ruined because of drinking drugs in this business. This is a dangerous game, this business. Everyone thinks it's great fun climbing up the ladder and going up. I've been up and down this ladder more times than there's probably been ladders met. And the thing is, like, I just keep getting up. I'm a fighter. All the Halford family are fighters when it comes to music and business. We stand our ground, and we don't care who or whatever is out there stands in our way. Because the thing is, like, we'll stand our ground at the end of the day. Music's music, and you got to fight your ground at the end of the day when it comes to it. So at the end of the day, I'll just say straight out, like, this business, if you're listening to me out there, people, and you're listening to this, don't get involved with drinking drugs. If you're in a band, go get help straight away. Don't be a gobshite and end up in the loony bin, basically. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you covered a lot of stuff there, and I agree with just about everything you said, man. I really do. And I tell you what, man, we've got to, let's get to one of our tracks tonight, which is Bury Me. Talk to me. It's kind of interesting. This title fits with a lot of topics we've kind of opened the segment with tonight. Talk to me about this track and what it means to you.
Man, every song. This is one question I've gotten asked. Even I got asked this on Japanese radio. I didn't know what they were saying. I had to get a translator to explain to me. So I was like, yeah, like, konnichiwa, like, and then what else do I say after that? Like, what do you call it? No, like, the thing is, like, the song is different for everyone. People have come back to me and said to me, this is what I think the song is about. And I said, that's cool, yeah, but right, Bury Me, right, I'll let people in for an exclusive. I'll tell this, it's the first time I'm going to tell people about what the song is about. Bury Me is about being brought up in life. I sing about true life experiences. I speak about, like, it's more storytelling of like, basically hell on earth. And basically, like, we go through so much shit and so much hard things in this life and so many crazy things in our life. And there's so many crazy people out there that try to ruin others' lives that are just trying to make a living and just trying to, like, survive, especially in a recession. And Bury Me, like was wrote back over 10 years ago. Basically, it was wrote about, like, not being able to, like, stand my own ground in one way. From my perspective, I felt I was lacking in a strength that I should have had. And that's basically where Bury Me came from.
and it just felt like I was like being guided in good areas, but I wasn't being trained how to properly survive in the lethal, mutal, eaten machine of this metal, trash metal and heavy metal business. And that's where I felt the song deserves to be wrote.
Well said. I'll tell you what, man. Let's take a quick break. We'll jam Bury Me and we'll come back and we'll talk about your new record, man. Is that cool?
Cool stuff, Ryan. Cool stuff, brother.
Right on. This is Bone Digger Halford here on Revelator. Bury Me. Bone Digger Halford here on Revelator, hanging out with Bone Digger Halford. And, you know, a good first segment, man. I want to kind of get in. You're a busy guy. You got a lot of stuff going on, man. Talk to me. You got a new album in works. Now, also, you have something going on in, I believe it's Paris, France. I want to say September. I don't know if I have the month right there. I don't know if you have an exact date, but, you know, maybe a tentative release for like a double disc. Talk to me about one, you know, the recording process. And, you know, this time around, you know, what you've gained experience wise over, you know, the last, you know, a couple of years since you were in the studio. Talk to me about that process, about, you know, just putting something together and just, you know, getting back in there and kind of getting back in the studio and making music again, man.
All right. Basically, I've been working behind the scenes with companies like Warner Brothers, Universal, Sony, Roadrunner, and many other companies as well, from all different aspects and areas. People come to me for advice on certain things, and I give them advice, and other times I could be producing or engineering. It depends on what I'm doing. It depends on how much big the budget is and things like that. Like, a lot of my friends that I would have, like, in the business who would be, like, Ross Robinson. And basically, the launch, like, of the album will be... we were aiming for 2014 for January, but we're going to go mid. The French VIP gig is actually a closed gig. It's in Paris in France, and it's being moved to March of 2014. And it's just basically, it's just press, media, celebrities, things like that. There'll be people there from like MTV and stuff like that, like, as well. But I don't know if MTV are going to play my music. It'll be more so, unless they put it on one of the metal channels. Let's see what happens. Like, I'm not too worried, you know, right? To be truthful, like, you know what I mean? But like, it's just good fun. Yeah, Dave Boyce from the Choir Boys. He wants to work with me as well on the new album as well. Like, he's a bass player from the Choir Boys and Skyscraper. Massive band in the 80s and 90s, and he's a real professional. He's based in London. He has his own studio as well over there, and he lives there, and we're going to meet up with in the coming weeks to have a chat and chill out and just have a day or two out, like, and just hang out and basically discuss where we're going. I've got a new crew. Because there's two albums coming out, basically... I've got from the band Hunter from South America, I've got Amner Hunter from Mexico, and they've toured all over. He's toured all over with his musical work, basically all over South America. And his family works. He works for one of these companies as well, basically where they do business with the United States and Mexico for computer products, something like that. So basically, like he's loads of access to contacts and things like that as well. Like, so the thing is, like, he's a really good lead guitarist, and he's got a lot of talent, and he's good. Like, and he's coming on board with me. Also, as well, I've got Alex Mansky, and he's from Illinois, and. Alex Mansky is a good friend of mine, and he's a kick-ass guitarist as well. He'll be working with me too. And I've also got from Ireland then, Alex Mansky was actually in a death metal band, and he was playing all around America as well. Like, so he's got a good name for himself as well. And then I've got a new Irish kid on the block who's coming on board, and a lot of talent, a lot of good stuff going on. His name's Darren Ray. Same as the actors Chris and Stephen Ray, the same name as that, like, but I don't think he's related. I'm not too sure. I didn't ask him. But basically, he's coming on board. He's got a real, like, see, all our styles, like first of all, right, like, you have, like, my own style. Like, I can play lead, I can do everything, like, basically lead, drums, guitar, keyboards, bass, you name it. And then the singing, obviously. But my singing is going to be a little bit different than what you're hearing on the albums there. It's going to be that's sort of Silas' thing as well, but I'm going to actually unleash the real me this time. I can actually sing like Rob, but the thing is, I didn't want to do it because I didn't want people thinking, basically, this guy's just trying to copy his cousin. No, sure. I'm not. And so this time around, I'm doing my own thing, and I've been basically messing around with a lot of stuff. And see, people don't realize in a recording studio, there's a big process. There's the pre-production. Basically, where you set in with your stuff, and basically, you've got your songs pretty much laid out to what you're going to work with. But basically, you could have 20, 30 songs, and out of those 20 songs for the first album, you could only maybe pick 10 or 11. It really boils down to, at the end of the day, how good the tracks are. And what we do then is we bring in, like, our management would bring in what they call it, like, maybe 10 people from the music industry, and just let them listen to this, all the songs, and let them pick between the 30 tracks what they've marked as their favourite, and then we'll look at it and we'll see ourselves, and that's how we'll do it. It's kind of like a pops, we call it in Ireland, like a pops, basically, where you go out with the streets and do a kind of a questionnaire kind of thing. Sure. So you just want to find out what people's feedback is from the music business. So that's how you really go about marketing yourself. You got to get advice from people outside. Now, the other thing then, you go into the actual recording stage when you have your songs done, pretty much wrote, and you're happy with the kind of writing process. But then you're going to get into the stage of recording, and that's the stage we're at the moment. And the thing is, like, there's going to be parts when you come across a song where you're going to say, no, I don't like that. Now, sometimes I'll turn around and say, well, here, I'm just scrapping a song.
And the thing is, I can work very fast. Like, the last time people were kind of getting annoyed with me in the bands that I had playing with me, like, I had musicians standing in with me because I was writing too many songs too fast and they couldn't keep up. So the thing is, like, I don't mind scrapping a song if I don't take it, if I'm not happy with it. So basically, I'll just work like that. But there's basically what you're going to get. And then you have the third stage, which is post-production. And basically, like, I'm going to be engineering it myself as well as recording it. And I'll have another assistant engineer as well standing with me as well for when I'm on the other side recording. But the thing is, like, I'll be producing it and I'll have probably someone from mastering. I'm not too sure whether to do my own mastering or not. Like, I can master, that's not a problem. But the thing is, like, I might get someone like Ross Robinson or someone like that just to master it up for me. I really don't know yet what we're going to do, like, who we're going to deal with. But, like, if I was going to work with someone, I'd like to work with Ross, because Ross is really good. Randy Stubb is actually very, very good as well. Like, he played a part, or Bob Rock, like, you know what I mean? Like, but, like, getting your hands on these people and stuff like that, like, is another thing. Like, and it's all to do with timing as well. Yeah. Like, and another guy, a great musician and great worker, Timberland, but you won't get your hands on him, because the thing is, even though he works in the R&B and kind of like the dance music, everything he touches is great. What he called, the reason everything he touches is great is because everyone wants to work with him, because see, he works really hard at what he does. And basically, if you get him to work with you, you'll be sorted, basically. You know what I mean? That's why everyone's crying out to work with him. But the thing is, like hopefully someday, but like, I don't know if he'd do a metal album, do you know what I mean? Like I could just imagine looking at this, like, saying, like, yo, hey, Mickey, this is so fine, next minute, what the hell is this, man? Yo, man, what's going down, brother?
Well, you know, I believe he did an album with Chris Cornell, I want to say, from Soundgarden. It's been some years ago now, I want to say at least 5 years ago, and it was a really different take to, you know, you hear Chris Cornell and Timberland, you're like, wait, they're doing a what now, you know? It ended up being a, you know, kind of a branching out in a solo project, and, you know, there's some really good stuff on that album, and there's other stuff where I think it was kind of experimental for him, too, where it would kind of push the boundaries to him musically, and I think that's where a lot of people want to work with him, because he has a reputation of, you know, kind of getting you to step out of your comfort zone, you know, as a producer.
Yeah, sure, like, the thing is, like, he really is good, like, the thing is, like, he had such a hard time when he started out first, like, basically, because, like, he didn't fit the good looks, kind of like the kind of, I want to, like, be this good looking. So the only way the record industry, the music industry's gone all messed up in the last 20 years, maybe less. They're judging it more now on looks than they are on the actual music quality. Because if you listen to the recordings of people, now I'm after hearing, now I don't know if this is true or fact, and either way, I don't know whether to comment or what. Did you hear anything about Paris Hilton going in to record a new album?
Oh God! Yeah, let's hope that's not true. You know, like, let's hope that's not the case, man. You know, it will be years from now. You mentioned MTV earlier. It'll be years from now. There'll be a study that go. There used to be a folklore, you know, a myth that the M and MTV used to stand for music.
Yeah, I remember MTV Man when Vanessa Warwick used to be on, and she'd have the Headbangers Ball,
right?
And
yes.
Thought, like, yeah, like, and that was like. Every night, I think it was, what was it? It was a weekend night, and I'd be up and I'd stand in front of the TV and I'd have the headphones at full blast. And I'd be watching it. I'd be like, holy shit, man, she's hot. And I'm right. like, she's so cool. And she was actually Andy Warwick from The Almighty. And she left him and went with Rob Flynn to Machine Head. Like, and what he called, I don't know what story is now going on there, like, because I don't keep up on people's love lives because I don't have one of my own at the moment. I'm single and I need a lady. But I don't want someone that's insecure and someone that thinks that because I'm a musician that I'm going to be cheating on them. I'm loyal and I'm trustworthy. And I'm if I'm with someone, it's exclusively. That's the way I work. But the thing is, like some people out there do get a bit jealous because I know a lot of musicians that they have been talking to me and they've been saying things like their wives and girlfriends are jealous of them. Because they're afraid if they make it up the ladder and things like that and do other gigs and bigger gigs that they're going to run off with some playboy or some porn star or something like that. Like, you know what I mean? And the thing is, like maybe some will. I can't predict. I'm not a psychic. What am I supposed to say to them? Well, you got to go with your own gut. Like, you know what I mean? Like I'm a musician, not a fucking psychic. What the fuck do you expect me to say? Like,
I can tell you what I'll do. I can't tell you what you're going to do. It's like, right, Ryan, exactly. Tomorrow. Yeah, right. Like, Ryan, if you tomorrow...
Don't blame it on the steroids.
Yeah, like, Ryan, you can't... I can't say, hey, Ryan's going to come along. Ryan Hill's going to come along and say, basically, yep, he's loyal the whole lot. And I can say, yep, Ryan told me that. But I can't, heart on my soul, say... things aren't going to work out with you in a relationship or something like that, and that you aren't going to run off if you're joining a band. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't vouch for someone in that, because things can get complicated for people down the line. All you can vouch for is yourself, and right. Hopefully yeah. Your partner, well, hopefully some lovely-looking girls out there tonight is right. Listening.
There you go.
Because I'm sexy, just like Barry Weiss.
Very nice. Well, hey, I wanted to bring, you mentioned something in our pre-show about the DVD Pitch Perfect. Talk to me about that. And you also mentioned you had some funny lines too, and you were holding them back. So I want to hear some of these lines from, and also talk to me about this DVD as well, man.
Yeah, as I said to you, like, the music will be coming out with Universal. It'll be a sub record there, but I'm here tonight, basically. I'm pitching the film Pitch Perfect out there for you people out there. If you haven't seen it in the cinema, get it on DVD, right? It's the funny film. It's down as the funniest film of the year, Unmissable, by MTV, MSN, and Now. And it's by Universal. And it's actually got in it Anna Kendrick. She was the girl from Twilight. If you're a vampire lover, whoa. And real vampires don't shimmer in the light. What do you call it? I love the Vampire Diaries as well, and I love True Blood, and The Walking Dead man kicks ass. But the thing is, this film, like, I sat down with it and watched it with my sister, and I just said, like, this is just brilliant. Like, we just sat down and watched it, and it was just like, right, it's this Garnet, right? And she's called, like, she's really cool, like, right? So her name is Fat Amy, right? And basically what you call, her name is Rebel Wilson. She was in a film called Bridesmaids. And basically, she goes over to the two ones that are like in the college, and basically, it's she's there, like, and basically, they're trying out for the singing contest where they go up against people singing in singing groups. And they asked her, "What's your name?" And these two ones are like beautiful, got the perfect bodies and the whole lot. And she goes, "I'm from New Zealand," and basically, "I'm from New Zealand, and I'm called Fat Amy." And they said, "What?" They said, like, "You call yourself Fat Amy?" And she says, "Yeah, I call myself Fat Amy, so fucking twiggy bitches like you can't call it behind my back." I just thought it was brilliant, like, you know what I mean? And then, like, the other one comes along and gets nodes, and she can't go above a G sharp. And another one comes along in the film, right? And she's really quiet. And they were asked to sit down and basically tell us something about your life in secret, though, that we can build a bonding relationship. And she says, "I ate my twin in my mother's womb."
Very nice, man. Well, hey, man, the DVD, is that out right now, or?
Yeah, it should be. It's definitely out over here anyway. Pitch Perfect, okay. Universal. It's released on DVD, and it's on Blu-ray as well. And it's for rental, and it's for sale as well.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I tell you what, man. Let's. The second song we've got tonight is "Fire in the Sky," and I hate to shift gears on you so quick here, man. Another track that you recorded a while back, but you know, a quality music again. I'm curious, you know, these tracks we're listening to tonight. Is there a certain theme, you know, that we can look forward to on the new album based off what we're going to hear on this next track?
Yeah, the theme on one album, right? I'll let you in. The working name for one is Pleasure and Pain. And the other working name for the second album that's going to be released alongside Part 2, Dirty Little Lies.
Nice.
So the theme is basically what goes on behind the real scene in the music. What goes on behind the scene of people's real lives. And basically, it's related to a lot of things from people's losses. And basically, pleasure and pain is basically boiled down to, it's going to be basically like, some of us push ourselves really hard in the music business. And basically, you'll hear things like Chi Morano, may rest in peace. I was very upset when he passed away from the Deftones. basically, like, he had even said after the album they recorded in 2007, basically every album they'd record before that, they'd put blood, sweat, and tears into it. And he gave a live interview on TV and said basically straight out that this album he thought was the breaking point for the band. He thought the album basically, he basically had said something along the lines of, we didn't put in blood, sweat, and tears, we put in mostly blood. And then he had the freak accident where he was driving his car and he had his sister in the car with him. And she wasn't, she was wearing a safety belt and he wasn't. And it was just a freak accident. And yep, he got propelled, he clipped off a car and got propelled out of the car and ended up getting brain damage. We genuinely thought he would pull through. But the thing was, there was even a charity set up to fund his medical expenses. Like, and it's just terrible to see things like that. Like, I'm just curious, where's the money from all the record sales? Why wasn't any of that money given towards the band to help the Fat Cheese family with his medical expenses? Because I'm very curious, like why aren't they getting medical insurance? I'd actually be more curious about the managers of some bands. If you're listening to me, managers out there, why aren't you putting insurance, health insurance on your musicians? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Another thing I'll give people advice on as well, you're dealing with managers in the music business. When you're giving a record dealer at that, when you're offered money, things like that, that money doesn't mean you get all that money. That money goes out to the manager that they appoint to you. And basically, sure, the money then gets taken away from that for record engineers, producers, you name it, PA, personal assistants, you name it, the receptionist, everyone gets paid out of it. Tour bus drivers, you name it. You're lucky if you come up with a few bob at the end of the day. It depends how successful your first album goes. You could be a one-hit wonder. You could be a... I've known people who have made thousands of albums and only sold about 16 albums. And the thing is, like, this just happens. But the thing is, like, a lot of managers have been known years ago to come along and actually... this is not in, to do in relation to any other band that I've talked about tonight. This is in relation to general out there, to bands and managers. I've known managers who have actually told bands that they bought their house and this is your house to live in. And basically, the manager signs for it in his name. So as soon as the band flops, who owns the house? Mm, the manager.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, no, that's crazy stuff, man. Well, tell you what, man, let's take another break. We'll jam out Fire in the Sky and we'll come back and we'll wrap things up, man. Is that cool?
That's cool, brother. Cool.
Right on, man. This is Fire in the Sky, Bone Digger Halford here on Revelator.
Like a captain at sea.
Fire on the Sky here on Revelator, hanging out with Bone Digger Halford. And it's been a great night, man. Bone Digger, I appreciate you taking the time. I know it's late there in Ireland. I appreciate you taking the time out for us tonight. And we talked about playing a word game. We try to do this occasionally with guests. And I wanted to bring up Dimebag. Now, most people will know him as Dimebag Daryl Abbott. And you said you had a story you wanted to share about with Dimebag tonight, and I appreciate it if you would, man.
Yeah, word games. What kind of word games do you want me to get into? Some sexual innuendo here. What do you call it? Maybe we'll talk about the hot dog lady later. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Give me her number.
the old hot dog hooker, man.
Remember, we can always come along and send the children down on tour bus when they're going on their holidays. Like, down here, get your hot dog from the stripper lady over there.
She steam your buns, man.
Yeah. What do you call it? Dimebag. Dimebag is a cool... He was a cool dude. May he rest his soul. He was actually known before Dimebag as Diamond. Diamond Darrell. And what do you call it? Like, when he was over here in Ireland, like, he came over and, like, we were sitting in, like, in Eamon Doran's. It was owned by Yui from the Fun Loving Criminals. And basically, we always had our own area because we'd come out of Yui's and U2's rehearsal studios. And we go into this place, Eamon Doran's. And we'd be in there and we'd be chilling out and we'd have our own area. Everyone knew us, like, in there. Like, and basically, Dimebag just saw all the guitars. And we didn't even know he was playing in Ireland at this time, over 10 years ago. And basically, he came over and he caught one of the lads at the Vulgar Display for the Power T-shirt on. And he just came over, started talking. I looked at him for a few seconds and I was there, like, and... Next week, I was like, hey, that's fucking Diamond Darrell. Like, I mean, Dimebag. And I was like, oh, man, how you keeping? And like, what he called it, he was like, all right, man. I'm not sure if he was drinking or not that night, but he was really, really cool. Like, and like, he was really down to earth. There was no bullshit with him. Like, and he just basically was talking. And he was just like, I remember him telling me what he called it. What was it? His brother Vinny. Has, I'm not sure if he still has it or what, but he told me Vinny had, I think, a swimming pool made out of the shape of a bottle of Jack Daniel's whiskey.
So, wow, nice.
Like, I mean, like, I think Vinny likes the whiskey. I don't know if he drinks anymore or what, like, but like, no, but like Dimebag was a legend. I don't think there's anyone out there that can compete against him, to be truthful with you. There's, at the end of the day, like, he'll never be forgotten. Anyone in the last 20, 30 years that knows music, metal, trash metal, speed metal, you name it, they're going to know Pantera from Dimebag Darrell's leads, Phil Anselmo's vocals, Rex's, what he called, bass playing, and basically Vinny's drums. Because the two brothers, like they worked together as a tag team, and then they went off, then I'm not sure what happened, but remember they broke up and in a sense where... Phil wants to do his own thing with members of Corrosion of Conformity and Crowbar. They set up the Down, and basically, what do you call it? They brought out Nola, and basically, good album, Stone to Crow, excellent song. But I don't know, like, I think, like, if you take on too many things with a band, like, if you try running, like, four bands or three bands at the one time, then you had Supergiant Ritual as well. And so, like, yeah. It was kind of confusing. Do you know what I mean? Like, so the thing is, like, I liked, Down, I loved Pantera and the story, and I'll always miss him. And I just feel so sorry for his family and every musician out there who I mentioned tonight who've lost their lives through any sort of situation, anyone affected. I really, my prayers go out to them, because I have a lot of friends in the USA who work for the government as well. Like, and
Like, the thing is, like, it's disgraceful what goes down. Like, that fella went in at night to that gig, basically was just a psycho, and he went in with a handgun, and basically he shot innocent people, he shot security, and the word got out straight away that he had actually shot Dimebag and Vinny basically point blank, face to face. And then the guards got in, and the police, the American police forces, got in on time and stopped them from killing more people and basically shot them dead, which at the end of the day, you have no choice in a situation like that when someone opens fire. Even in Ireland, we have special forces such as the special branch and the armed Gardaí as well, who deal with situations like that. When there's fire, when someone opens fire on an innocent person, or on the police, they have to fire back, end of story, and it's either shot or be killed. And when you have psychos out there with guns, that's why there was actually a gun company following me on Twitter, and I actually followed them by accident. Then I realized what they were, and I actually sent them a tweet and said, listen, like, I said, no offense, but why are you following me? I said, and basically said, we're a gun company. And I said, well, I said, be truthful with you, I don't support. Like, I know it's one of the amendments, but I don't support personally myself having a gun, like, unless, like, because there's so many people out there with so many problems with the recession and everything like that, like, there's people losing their minds, either killing themselves or basically hurting other people and killing other people. So the thing is, like I don't know what to do, really. There's nothing I can do personally on the gun laws in any country, really. Like, it doesn't matter if a gun is illegal or legal in a country. If you want a gun bad enough, you'll get it anywhere in any country, in any part of the world. So the thing is, like that's the thing, like, and it's just horrific everything that went down, like, with Dimebag. Like, it was just, I just think, like, I just remember that day so much, and I was just sitting at home, and I remember just saying, calling my mother in, and I said, that's Dimebag, and I said, remember Dimebag, and she was like, she'd remember the name of the band, more so than the name of the person. And I said, that's the guy who was drinking with up in Dublin. But I don't drink alcohol. I drink a lot of water, things like that. Like,
right.
But the thing is, like, I basically came along, like, and I said, what do you call it? Like, I was just standing in front of the TV, just looking at it. Took a while, but what we heard first was Finney and him had been basically executed. That's the way I look at it, by a total nut job who had no relevance. Like, it's like that church crowd we were talking about there before, who have it in for the U.S. Army. I have a lot of friends in the U.S. Army and the U.S. Navy who work for the government, and this church crowd, I think they're a pack of freaks, and these sort of people are dangerous to mess with, because the thing is, like you don't know what their agendas are, and you don't know how brainwashed some of their members really are at the end of the day. Like, they shouldn't have it in for any of the U.S. armed forces or any of the military or anything like that, because those people are doing a job. There's too many bad things going down. Like, Boston as well, like my heart and soul goes out to everyone that was affected. And then everything, like, there was so many things happening in Boston. Then there was those two psychopaths with the guns, and that innocent police officer who was trying to protect, doing his job, like a good US citizen, and basically he gets gunned down from these guys who have professional, like, I don't know what kind of weapons they were, but automatics, machine guns, whatever you want to call them. I'm not too up on guns, what makes or stuff, like, and I mean, but things like, I saw the video footage on TV, and it was definitely looked like something out of a gangster movie, because they were very, very, flashy, as in very fast. So there were obviously super-powered guns, whatever they were using, against the police, and the police weren't expecting it. But that man gave up his life and his family now, and that have to bear the consequences and have to live with that torment. And so do all the people who were attacked in the Boston bombings at the Marathon. Like, you know what I mean? There was all different countries there. And, like, I just don't know what they're really saying that. Like, I just think it's just scary. Like, it's like, it brings me back straight to 9/11. When 9/11 happened, like, I remember, I was terrified even seeing planes flying over me. like not to say even. It took me about a year, maybe even a little bit more, to get back on planes because I was actually afraid. I was actually terrified. What do you call them? Because that's the whole idea behind terrorism. See, it's to terrorize you. It's to make you afraid. Whether they do something to you or not, it's the whole idea of causing fear that they could. And I'm not the only person. I'm sure there's millions of people after that happened and everything that's happened. We're all victims to a certain extent. And the thing is, like, I don't support these people at all. And I think at the end of the day, once they're caught, I think basically if they've been involved, they should be executed, as in death sentence. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah, you know, we talked about the Boston tragedy and, you know, a couple other things as well. And, you know, and a lot of times it's hard to wrap your mind around how somebody can do something so heinous and just mean and, you know, just hateful. I mean, another way to put it, you know, and you hear these, you know, these stories of, you know, people shooting up schools and all these different things. And, you know, a couple weeks on the show and, you know, I look back and I go, you know what? I was like, you know, we hear about these things and I keep kind of telling myself that there's more good out there than there is bad. And I keep, you know, and I really believe that. I don't just tell myself that just because, you know, I want to move on from those horrible things that happened. My hearts go out to all the families affected by all the different gun violence, terrorism. The list goes on, unfortunately. It's a big list. And, you know, it's just one of those things, you know what? There's a lot more good going on in the world that you don't hear about. And as long as you can come to terms with that. Like, you know what? Yeah, we're hearing about this small window of bad things because the media is like sharks in water when it comes to those stories, unfortunately, anymore. And that you just have to keep in mind that, you know, there's a lot more good going on out there than you're ever going to hear about. Unfortunately, we concentrate on the bad as far as the media is concerned. And that's just kind of, you know, unfortunately, that's just kind of where we are with how media and how news is represented now. And in the information age that we're in right now as well. I mean, you know, the social media, all those different things that affect everything that we do. Everything is quick, everything instant, everything is on video or YouTube or Vine or Twitter or, you know. Like, back in the day, you know, you had a phone that was in the kitchen next to the refrigerator. And it had a rotary dial on it. And that's how you communicate with people. It was called, we called it a phone, they call it landlines now. You know, and it used to go, you follow the line, it used to go to the dirt. You literally had to go through dirt to talk to somebody. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
and it's like, the thing was like even I remember the old phones when I was a kid, you actually had to turn the notch around from zero all the way around to nine,
the rotary dial
around to seven and things like that, like, and going around a circle, like, and then it rewind back and then you rewind it again. And then, I mean, like, it wasn't too far off the old days where they tap it nearly with Morse code to get a certain number, like, where they'd be put through to the operator, like, I mean, something from World War One or two, like. And I just want to say as well, it's kind of ironic, or it's kind of like an irony to say this, but happy Memorial Day to everyone in the USA, because there was a lot of Irish people involved in that as well, and a lot of British as well. But happy Memorial Day to people out there. It's sad to see people and families who have lost basically people through any war. And my own great-grandfather actually fought with the US and the British Air Force. He was a captain, and basically he was based in France for the American pilots, and basically he fought many tours of duty going back and forward in and out against the Germans. And during World War, I think it was after Pearl Harbor he joined up. Anyway, that's when he joined up, and he survived. He actually survived the whole thing. We actually have postcards and everything, but he fought with the He flew along and he guided. He was a captain. He guided in the U.S. troops, and he guided in the British troops as well. Like, so he had a lot of flight experience. So basically, like, he just landed that job, and when he put himself forward for the war, like, but like, if you're in any sort of army or anything like that, like, you will be pushed forward if you're needed. You know what I mean? But the thing is, like, he did a great thing for what he called for the people of the world, really, because that was just a crazy world war, to be truthful with you, because there was another cousin when the invasion of Tunisia happened, and basically we don't know anything about where he went. All we know is that American and British troops went in, and Irish troops were part of the British cavalry as well, and they went in, and no one knows where he went. Just basically, like, he could have been killed. Who knows? Because that was a very bad. Like, Germany invaded Tunisia, and the American and British forces and all that, and France and everything were trying to block them off. From they lost the battle, obviously, Germany, but a lot of people, innocent people, like, died on both sides. It's like Spike Milligan, a fellow from Ireland. He fought in the war as well, and he was asked. He's a famous writer. He's passed away now, but he was asked, what he called, did you ever shoot anyone? And he called, he was on the ground, like, and he basically said, well, I hope I did, because he said, like, he said, how do you know if you were shooting someone? And he says, well, I was pointing the gun in, like, the opposite direction. Like, it's, it right. was funny the way he said it, but the thing was, like, it's kind of like a double story. Like, it's funny the way he, because he is known for being a comedian, but the thing is, like, he genuinely was in the war, like, and like he looked at things, like, in life, as like he's seen a lot of bad, as you said yourself. And the thing is, that they call it, but he tried to look at life and bring out books on the good things and kind of make lighthearted of the stuff, but not forget the real stuff that happened, because history does play a part in the future, in a sense. But at the end of the day, like we can't predict what's going to happen. We're not psychics, as I was saying earlier on. Also, as well, Ryan, I wanted to say to you, on that song Fire in the Sky, the female voice on that is actually another Halford, Grace A. Halford. She was actually the singer on that, the female voice on that song he just played from over 10 years ago. And she actually works with my management team, and she's really great. And also my parents, my mother and my father, like they're just brilliant. Like, they're really supportive, like, And we've had our own trouble. Like, my own father was mugged as well, robbed, and he got a brain injury. So the thing is, like, people have a lot of problems on their doors. We all have them, and we just have to try and work towards the best we can and help each other out. Like, you know what I mean? Because that's what families are for. You stand by your families and you help them out best you can. So that's what love's all about and life's all about.
Well said, man. And me and you we've had the family talk quite a bit on and off, in email and stuff. And it's been a pleasure tonight to talk with you, man. And I consider you, I think we've become pretty good friends, and I don't have a problem saying that all. And I hope you feel the same way, man. You're a good guy. And, hey, man, keep us in the loop, man. I really mean that, man. And I say that to a lot of guests. You know, we like to think that we're trying to build a nice close knit family here with all our past guests. We've had quite a few good ones, and, you're definitely in that mix. And, we like to stay in the loop, man, and keep us in the loop. When you got new material, you got new stuff you want to play, you give us a ring, man, and we'll get you on and say your piece and jam some tunes, man, and I really mean that. And I want to close out tonight by saying, again, thank you. And the last song we've got tonight before we close out is If I, which I think, a lot of things we talked about, gun control and violence and, the servicemen and women, for your country, my country, and really across the world and a lot of other countries as well, not just, for Memorial Day, but I think this song definitely is kind of one of those moments captured in time. It's a really great live track. And we'll close out tonight with that, man.
Yeah, that was recorded in Germany in a VIP session before we went on stage with Rammstein. And basically, what he called it was recorded in Schneidelbusch in Germany. Schneidelbusch is a dirty word in I'm not sure what it means, but I think it's something to do with the women's private areas. So what do you call it? It was recorded live there, but I'm going to probably record it again properly this time, like in studio, just to release it out there. I'll see what I'm going to do. I'll have a chat properly and see what they want to do, management and producers and things like that. But the thing is, like, the song I want to send it out there to basically to all the people out there today who basically, I want you to concentrate on the goodness in life. And as you said yourself, the media does pick up on a lot of the negative stuff, but that's how the media makes their business, Ryan, unfortunately. But the thing is, like, they're in the business for sad stories sell. That's what there is, simple as that. And basically, that's just the way life is. But the song I want to dedicate to everyone, it was actually originally wrote for all my friends who committed suicide in my first band, actually. It was dedicated to them. It was a very hard time, very confusing time. I'm sure people out there who have experienced people who have committed suicide, it's very, very, very confusing. because you don't know what the answers are, because there's no notes or anything left, and you don't know what's happened. And basically, it wasn't even a serious band, really. It was just a friend band. It was just friends. It was outer sources that caused the problems, I think, personally. But I don't know. But at the end of the day, this song is for everyone out there. It's not just about suicide. It's about loss. It's about confusion. And about I wrote it basically, if I hadn't known what problems were people were going through, like people who are suffering from all the things that have happened lately in the last while, everything from the warehouse that burnt down there in the USA, where the medical crews and everything in the fire brigade was basically, the fire services were wiped out and everything, and everyone, including the families of the Boston Marathon and the police forces, and also as well the US government and the White House and everyone. This song is for everyone there, as a dedication, basically, just to thank you for your support over the years. And this time around, we will be coming to Europe, or we will be coming to the USA properly. And basically, I just want to dedicate it to everyone out there in just listening tonight, and everyone in the USA. And I just want to thank everyone for your support. And if you want to get me, and if you want to talk to me, you'll get me on Twitter for the time being. I'm always on Twitter. Not always on it, because I have to be in studio, because I don't have time to be on it all the time, but I try to respond to people. But you will get me on Twitter at Eddie Halford BDH, or just type in Bone Digger space Halford. So just leave a space between Bone Digger and Halford, and you'll find me on Twitter. But the thing is, like, you'll be updated then with news. Just look for Halford. There's only a few of us on there. Do you know what I mean? Like, so you're going to find us on Twitter anyway. And another thing as well, people out there, I want to say as well, a big, I'm going to sort you out with some bands as well, Ryan, to come on your show, because we were talking about this. I'm going to bring on a band who are going out to play with Drowning Pool. Centrelink. They're one of the guys I've been working with for a while. And basically, they're going to come on the show. I'm sorting it out. Also, as well, I'm going to try and get you on another band that I know that are great chaps as well, and very loyal as well. And they would be AZ Band, and they're working their asses off to basically try and get going as well. And they're based in America as well, and so is Centrelink. Centrelink is based in Boston, and AZ are in Arizona, and basically Austin St. Cloud, basically, he's actually a Native American. Like, I actually have dream catchers and things like that in my room. I'm into that stuff. I love things like that. And he does music, but it's really weird how he does it. So I'm going to organize an interview with you, because, like, you just won't believe. I'm not going to tell you how he does what he does, because the thing is, like, it's just technology moved to a different area that I would have never thought of even doing, even though I've learned a lot of things from mistakes, because sometimes mistakes in the music business, when you're recording something or messing with sounds, can actually be a good thing, because you can find some sound that you actually want and like by a mistake. But this guy is just doing stuff that I hadn't heard of being done before, and fair play to him, and his music is good and I like it. And the thing is, like, I'm going to do my best to help him get up the ladder as well. So as I said, Centrelink, they're on Twitter as well, AZ Band on Twitter, and basically you have as well Austin Cloud as well, and basically good music, good stuff. And a big thank you, I just want to say a big thank you as well to some other members of my team, as I said, Grace Halford, and basically I want to thank Angie Pierce and Regan Peters. She works for all the magazines, basically, worldwide, metal magazines. Well, not all of them, but she works for four or five of the biggest major ones, including ones in Australia, Canada, USA, and Europe. And basically, I want to thank Bob Nabaldian from Roadrunner. I want to thank, what do you call it, Chimera. And I want to thank Taproot and Corey from Trivium for being a good friend. And being there, he's a really good guy and a great guy to chat with. And basically, I want to thank Dave Boyce from the Choir Boys, who's coming on board with me. And I want to thank everyone that's been supporting me and being basically there behind me, like yourself, Ryan. And I want to thank you and your show very, very much for having me on tonight. Because the thing is with me, I'll come on any show once I'm booked in and have enough time. I have time for everyone and anyone. And the thing is, like, I'll talk to anyone and everyone at the end of the day, because at the end of the day, we're all just human. And you've got to respect people. Just because someone gets up the ladder and starts getting doing well for themselves, you don't, what you call it, you don't want to basically, what you call it, forget about the people once you get up the ladder. Because as a friend of mine in O2 said to me, what you call it, never forget your friends on the way up, because you never know when you need them on the way down. So, like, I'd like to send that out as a message to bands, like Five Finger Death Punch. Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, don't forget that your friends on the way up, because you might need them on the way down. Do you know what I mean? So, like, have a good time, lads. Enjoy yourselves. Don't like yous that much. I know yous don't like me. Good luck.
But hey, Bone Digger Halford, it's been a pleasure, man. And we close out tonight with If I, and I tell you what, man, I appreciate everything you've done for us and the support. You're a heck of a dude, and we'll be in touch, man. I consider you a friend, man. We've got along pretty well for a short amount of time, and I look forward to more conversations with you down the road, man. Best of luck to you. We'll be in touch for sure, man. We close out tonight
friends.
Here on Revelator.
We are friends, yes, Ryan, man. And like just I said, you're a close friend, and also, as well, what do you call it? I genuinely want to thank you and Mike tonight for such a great show. Also, as well, I forgot to mention, I want to thank Mike as well from Taproot. Taproot are a great band as well. Get out there, buy their music. It's great as well. Chimera's stuff, is the new album, is going to be cool as well. Get out there and buy it. And also, as well, Megadeth's Kingmaker, great song, new album. I think it could be an album this year that could be contending for basically best metal album this year. Super Collider. It looks like it from what I'm hearing. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah. You don't know, like, it might happen, but the thing is, they call it, I wish them all best of luck, but they're good guys, like, and I think what they call it, like, Megadeth are really going back to their roots again. Like Dave Mustaine just does that. That's the way he lives life. But again, I can't thank you enough for being my friend and having me on the show, and I want to thank everyone in the United States who's listening tonight and everyone worldwide who gets the podcast or the live broadcast tonight, whichever. Basically, thank you so much for your support. And as I said, you'll get me on Twitter. And this song, what they call it, from Bone Digger Halford, is If I, and it's basically dedicated to everyone who has had troubles and lost people in any circumstance. And God bless everyone tonight. And from Eddie Halford, Bone Digger Halford, Land of the Leprechauns in Ireland, yippity dippity doo! Take care, everyone. Love yous all. And peace. And remember, if you have a problem, go talk to someone. Don't take it out on other people. You know what I mean? Good luck.
Here it is. If I, live in Germany, Bone Digger Halford here on Revelator.
This is called If I.
live in Germany. That is Eddie Bonedigger-Halfer, if I, here on Revelator. And again, thanks to Bonedigger-Halfer for coming on Revelator tonight. If you want to find out more about him and also our past shows as well, it's omnes.tv. That's omnes.tv. Click on Revelator episode 12 or any past episodes as well. And again, special thanks for him coming on. Next week, we've got a great show for you. Working on Oleander. We were supposed to have them on about a month or so ago. You know, they were playing some shows and stuff. So look for them coming on next week. Hey.
Kapuya!
That's right. It seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so, everybody. Have a good one.
This was episode 12, Eight Fingers, Two Thumbs. For show notes or links to topics discussed on this episode of Revelator, or to experience previous episodes, head on over to omnes.tv. That's omnes.tv and click on Revelator. Thanks for listening.